Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I am your gaming gal, Kalai, and tonight I am joined by the grounded one himself, Corey. How you doing today, Corey?
Terrific. Doing fantastic. It's been a good week. We're getting close to 2018. Just watched the VGAs and all the announcements, getting super excited, and just remembering what kind of year we had, and I'm excited.
Oh, I can imagine. Tonight we do not have Joe, as he is sick. Before we get into what we've been playing, just a little bit of housekeeping. Please remember to subscribe and rate our podcast and spread the word. We really appreciate it. You can also check us out on our Facebook group. Come join the discussion at GameStuff Podcast. That's PoomerGamer.com/GameStuffPodcast. You can also interact with us on our Twitter, and that's at GameStuffCast. So, Corey, what have you been doing this busy week?
Trying to play video games. I've been very unsuccessful, but doing as much as I can. Sadly, I started playing the Kung Fu Panda PS Plus game. It's not very good. It's like Super Smash Brothers, but terrible. The only exciting part I have to say about it is the AI is really dumb. I've made the AI kill themselves. It's pretty hilarious.
That does sound pretty funny, actually.
Because basically what you do is you, like, you know how in Smash you, like, knock them into the air and juggle, right? So if you juggle a character in the air and you jump up after them, they will try to evade your attack, but instead of, like, Super Smash where they train them to, like, evade by doing another attack or, like, pressing the dodge button in the midair and doing air dodge, they press their up B and triple jump. So you jump up chasing after them after they've already taken themselves midway out of the arena, and then you jump after them triple jumping, and they triple jump past you to try to evade you and kill themselves.
That's pretty funny.
And then other than that, what else have I been playing? I really need to play Cat... Oh, is today Saturday?
Yes.
I need to play Cat Lateral Damage so I can get...
You didn't get that achievement yet?
No, I completely forgot on Saturday to play it on Saturday. But I am playing the Monster Hunter beta, which I'm super stoked about. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really excited for the full game. I'm hoping that I can pick it up. With that as well, I also played the free trial for Marvel vs. Capcom. I played 3 matches, and then I deleted it off my system.
Ooh, is it bad?
It's not that it's bad. It's just every time they release a mode, I'm like, okay, Capcom, like... So we had the beta originally that was a demo of the story mode, but then there was no free play option, so we got stuck playing with certain characters. We didn't get to pick them. We didn't get a certain amount of time with them. Like, they didn't give us any option. Now they've given us the free... versus mode. They're like, okay, you can play versus mode with all 36 characters. I'm like, sweet, this is awesome. I'm gonna download this. I'm gonna get the Teenage Mutant himself to download it as well. I'm gonna invite him into a game and we're gonna play together. You don't get to do that. It's versus online casual only. You can't do private matches. You can't do invite your friends to play. So what you do is it puts you in a casual server where all you do is you play, you can practice by yourself for a bit, and when someone else comes in, it takes you out, puts you into another game. And it's a pain in the ass, and I'm like, I'm not going to sit there and play casual against people that know how to play the game. I want to play this just to play it for fun. And
or you could get good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I would rather practice against Joe or get good by not playing right away against someone that knows all the combos and can instant kill me. I played against people that don't know the like when you're learning, trying to learn the controls alone, it's just doesn't seem that easy. But I just found that, you know what, I'm just gonna buy it. I'm just gonna buy it and play it that way. It seems like a lot more easier way to do it. And then other than that, I keep on playing Fortnite. I keep on playing, like, the games I keep on going back to are Fortnite. I keep on going back to Smite Tactics. I've actually been playing a lot of Magic. I acquired a new iPad. I've been playing a lot of Magic Duels on my iPad because it's the only way I can play without having to play with real people.
Can you play with real people with that?
Yeah, you can, but it's a very broken version of Magic, technically. It's not a formatted Magic, but that's why I'm excited when a Magic Arena's come out, which hopefully should be coming out soon, which I got invited to the beta, but I haven't played it yet. Basically like Hearthstone, but Magic the Gathering, and it's going to be on the iPad, it's going to be on the Samsung tablets, it's going to be on the computer.
Is it out yet?
No. It's only in beta so far, so hopefully soon. But, yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it. What have you been playing, Cly?
Well, I've had a really busy week. I got a little bit more Wildlands done. I actually finally beat the first boss, which is the Polito boss. And I haven't gone to the second boss yet because I keep looking through the map because the game plays a lot like Far Cry.
Oh, I've played the beta. I love the beta.
Right. But what you didn't experience in the beta is there's side missions. And these side missions give you +1 to your skill level so you can increase your skills. Or they give you gun parts. I'm not ready to move out of the area even though... because each area has one boss and you're supposed to find the intel to find the boss. And then you kill the boss and you move to the next area.
Yeah, I did that in beta.
I'm not ready to move to that next area because I'm looking for all the little skill points.
Yeah, it took me 4.5 hours to beat the beta. Because I did that. I literally went through every skill point, every single little checkpoint. Literally, I had it where it was me and another couple guys, and we literally just picked up a helicopter and flew to every single skill point area.
Except there's one mission I can't do. The mission with the little plane, not the helicopter, but the plane. Every time I do it, I crash it right into the ground.
Yep. Those planes are... If you watch my... I'm going to go my Grounded Gamer channel where I have all my videos. I think we attempted to fly those. We actually ended up breaking the game quite a bit, especially during the beta. The best thing we did was we tried to see how far you could shoot a car by hitting it sideways or a bike. So we had someone in a bike like go straight head-on into like a full-on moving car. And it was pretty hysterical. But the best vehicle you can get in the game, unless they've changed it and fixed it, is the tractors.
I used one of those. Actually, when we were setting up my monitor, I decided to try my monitor, and I wound up, driving off a cliff. I died, and they just put me off a cliff, and I couldn't get back to where I was, so I dropped it to a tractor.
Dude, those things can four-by. Yeah, those things are like, oh, hey, look, this hill's, completely vertical. Don't matter, I got a tractor. Best vehicles in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I played a little bit more Skyrim because, of course, Skyrim.
On your Switch.
I really like that game. Mm-hmm. And I went back to Disgaea 5 because I have that on the Switch. It's a really great game for my lifestyle, which is the best way to put it. Because when I'm playing at lunch, I can sit there and look at the board and figure out what I want to make my next move. I don't have to worry about I'm going to die. Because I didn't pause the game fast enough while I've got a bite of sandwich in my mouth. So,
is it on the Vita? On the Vita? That you're playing it? Or are you playing it on your Switch?
I'm playing it on my Switch.
Oh, okay. Because I know it's for... I think they made it for Vita, if I'm correct. I'm also very excited for the new news that... what is it? What's the farming sim game? Stardew Valley is coming to Vita. I'm quite excited.
Yeah, but it's probably better on the Switch.
Well, I know it's better on the Switch, Kali. Don't ruin my PlayStation-loving Vita. If you're done with your Vita, you can slowly send it to me. I still have everything ready to make a video for sending off the Vita. So whenever you're done, your Danganronpa 3, just send it over.
I am totally I'm totally in the middle of that game, so that's not happening. I also started Kingdoms of Amalur again on my computer.
on your computer.
Yes, I bought the PC version. I had the Xbox 360 version, but I didn't have an Xbox 360.
So I guess I can't get mad at you for playing it on PC, considering it's better than trying to play it on Xbox. So.
Well, I have a PS3. I just decided to buy it for PC. I'm leaning towards everything PC because I have this beautiful new big monitor. And I don't get the black bars on PC because I can stretch it beautifully, perfectly. I also played some more Bloodborne. I took your advice and I figured out how to get armor. So now I am stronger.
But still dying.
Armor. But still dying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I finally beat the first boss at like level 22?
Well, I haven't figured out how to actually level my character. I only figured out how to buy armor.
You go to the main starting area where you can check out all the graves, and then you go talk to the one person in the middle.
I haven't found that guy yet, obviously.
Girl.
I found the guy in the wheelchair. I found where I could, like, upgrade my weapons, buy armor. But I haven't found a guy to talk to.
Girl. It's a girl, and she's in the very, very middle. So, like, it's actually, like, right in the middle of where you're walking around constantly.
That's good to know.
Just don't jump off the cliff to go see her, because you will die.
Oh, I'm sure. That wouldn't surprise me, actually. That totally wouldn't surprise me.
So. People have tested
that. But yeah, that's... Wow. But that's what my week's been like. Like, little 10-minute, 15-minute games here, because I've been just really, really busy. And it didn't help. I was really sick last week. If I sound a little weird in last week's episode, it's because I really was getting a cold. And Monday, I couldn't get off the couch. I was so sick. I fell back to sleep and almost didn't call into work on time. So it was the most torturous thing ever to be home and my head hurt so bad I couldn't get off the couch, so I couldn't play video games. I had my Vita in reach and I just couldn't do it. It's awful.
I know for me, I've been sick for quite a while and hopefully kicking whatever the hell I've got.
Yeah, unfortunately it's that time of year. Alright, let's talk about our topic this week. I have an interesting topic for us, because a lot of shows like to do Game of the Year, you know, this is my favorite. But I really don't want to do Game of the Year, because, first of all, the three of us really don't have time to play the latest games, so whatever game we pick probably wouldn't do it justice. The other thing is that each of us has a different taste. So, if you've listened to the show enough after 20 episodes, everybody's going to know my Game of the Year is Breath of the Wild, without a doubt. What I want to do is talk about our moments in gaming.
Our 2017 moments. Brought to you by the Hydro Man. Stick Hydro. Actually, no, it's not. But if you were to buy your... Stick Hydros, you can go to our Proven Gamer website and go to the Amazon link and buy it all through there, because that does help and sponsor us to keep this channel going and these episodes coming to you, as well as to buy, if you like any of what we talk about in the next 35 minutes, you could go right onto that link, go onto Amazon, click on, you know, the Buy Me button a bunch of times. Just make sure that you send us a copy as well. As Clyde was saying, we don't get the time, and some of us don't have the financial income to buy everything. So if you don't mind sending games to us, just hit us up on the email, and then buy everything through the Amazon link. Greatly, helpfully supports us.
So, Corey, let's start with January, February. Do you have any moments?
God, what was even in January and February? Clyde, this has like been such a jam-packed year. Like, I can't even remember what it was in that... If I'm correct, now I could be very wrong. If I am correct, January, February, I was still playing Final Fantasy. No, wait, no, I platinum Final Fantasy in December. The heck was I playing? January, February. Battlefield, maybe? Was it Battlefield 1? I think I got Battlefield 1 in January, February. Which was a great game. I mean, Battlefield 1, I think, is for when we look at like a multiplayer shooter, that's where I think Battlefield 1 and all that were like amazing. And I think that's 2016, if I'm correct, so I could be wrong. But Battlefield 1 was definitely one of the games that I was playing in January, February, where it's such a good game. I find out of all the shooters available, multiplayer shooters available right now, I haven't played World War II, so I can't hold an opinion on that. But out of all the ones I have played, Battlefield 1, I think is one of the best ones that doesn't have a lot of the unrealisticness that you get in the Advanced Warfare and stuff like that. But you also, it just, I feel a little bit more rewarded when I play it. Unless you play in regular instead of hardcore, if you play in regular mode and stop playing on that mode, because it's not real. You can't get shot in the face twice and then finally die, or get shot in the chest area six times with like a 6mm bullet and live. You are dead. You should be dying, and I should not have to empty an entire clip in you so you hopefully die. Play hardcore. We need more people in hardcore.
Now, Neo and Horizon Zero Dawn came out
at that time. Yes.
Did you play them?
Okay, so I played Neo, but not in November, or not in January, February. I actually played Neo in, I want to say, just after E3, June, July, but, sorry. Neo was way before that. I played it in May. Maybe before that. I can't remember. But I know I played... Neo was a title I was very excited for, though. Neo, when we talk about game of the year or our memories, one of the best games I've played all year is Neo. Out of all the games I've played, yes, there's not a lot... I haven't played Horizon. And I don't own a Switch. So, out of all the games I've played... Neo is the best game I've played all year, and I love it. It's you get the challenge that you would get from a Demon Souls game, but not full Demon Souls, but you also get the idea of it being acceptable. Like, you're not feeling like in a Bloodborne or a Demon Souls, as Kly's felt many a times, where you die and die and die and die, and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. Whereas in Neo, you die, but you get used to the idea that you're feeling that you're getting something done every single time. So, that game is amazing.
There you go, okay.
And it's fully cooperative.
Oh, cool. I'll have to think about getting that. March. Now, March... Oh, March is a dear month to me, my friend. Dear month. You know why?
Because March was...
The Nintendo god came down from the sky, yes, and handed me the Switch. March has to be one of my big moments of the year, because not only did I get the Switch, and of course, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, which again, it to me is just a beautiful, fantastic game. It was PAX. For the first time in a very long time, I got to go to PAX this year. And... to be on the PAX floor. I actually got invited in as a vendor. I have a friend who does a card game called Ambryria, and it's very good. Please look them up. Ambryia. If you're into card games, like Corey is. Look them up. Buy their game. Highly recommend it. And be at PAX with them and on the floor. I got to go into the Nintendo booth before everybody else for the first time ever and actually get into the Nintendo booth. I got to see their beautiful display. Their display at PAX was amazing because they had a piece of an airplane where, so you could play on the plane. And, you know, they had a diner where you could play at the diner. And they were trying to show off where you could play the Switch. And, of course, you could go in and play. I got to play Splatoon 2 before it came out. It was just an amazing month.
You know what I
What about you?
Well, I was just saying that I was looking through all the games that released this year, right? Just because I didn't really personally play it. I don't know if you ever played it, like Resident Evil 7. Did you ever play that at any events or anything? No?
I'm not a Resident Evil fan.
Okay.
I did have the chance to go into the Resident Evil stage house. It looked scary and I ran the other way.
Okay. And then, obviously, I just gotta mention it because Joe's gonna talk about it. Fire Emblem Heroes came out on mobile, I think. And I know he plays that game, so... I know
Yes. It
was something that he really liked and enjoyed. And yeah, March, what a month. What a month in this.
That, yeah.
Oh, and we got Nier Automata. Just thinking about, like, what we see. We get Nier Automata. We get the Switch. we get Mass Effect Andromeda. We got Super Mario Run, which, I don't know, I played a little bit. We got Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5 releases. We got the new Attack on Titan game. Like, we were just, there was a lot of good stuff in that month. And
we also got Blaster Master Zero.
What's that?
That is actually a remake. I wasn't sure I wanted it until I actually played the game at PAX East. I met the developers. They're very nice people.
Yep.
And boy, was it a fun game. I actually beat that game. Then the developers went back and gave out for free, if you had already bought it and you downloaded it within a certain time, you could download Shovel Knight character to play in Blaster Master Zero.
That sounds cool. And then your favorite game that you're playing right now actually came out in March too, Kalai.
It did. What game is that?
Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Wildlands.
That's right, it did. And I unfortunately didn't start it back in March, but I am definitely enjoying the game.
I don't think anyone could... If you were able to play this year's games and play them as they were coming out and being able to beat one by the next time that something else came out, I'm assuming you don't have a job. And I'm sorry, we do this kind of as a volunteer thing on Proven Gamers, so no, we don't get paid on this. So it makes it so that if you can, obviously not having a job makes it very easy to play a lot of these games. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. Like, even when we look at a lot of people that are really big in the industry, you know, it's crazy to watch that they're still having such a backlog this year. It's crazy, crazy.
I know. Also, Has-Been Heroes came out. That's a game that's actually produced by GameStop.
You were telling me about that, though, right? You were telling me that you, like, don't you have that, right?
I do have that. I bought a bundle from GameStop because it came with Breath of the Wild, at which point I took back and told them I didn't want it.
Yeah, you remember telling me about that.
Yeah, I told them I don't want Breath of the Wild. I want Bomberman R. Guy behind the counter's like, oh, you do know Breath of the Wild's better. Yeah, I know it's better. That's why I bought the collector's edition on top of that. Duh. But I got Has-Been Heroes. It's a roguelike. And it's very, very interesting. You got four characters. And as you go, you gotta take out the stamina. You gotta beat the boards. It's just an amazing game. When I talked to the developers were like, do you want to play my game at PAX? And I was like, I already ordered your game. And they said, okay, but I want to let you know this is the hardest game you'll ever play. Well, that intrigued me. Played it, and I was like, holy balls, this is the hardest game. I actually set my own character on fire. Which you can do.
That almost reminds me of, we talk about moments of 2017. I guess the big thing, Kalai, just here talking about our moments of 2017. 2017 is when I found Proven Gamer, and I found you guys to be able to do this wonderful podcast. And, I mean, I guess that's another great moment that happened this year. Is the idea that I found a group that I was able to, some friends that we can sit and actually enjoy our time together and talk about things we love. And, you know, that's a big moment for 2017 for me. Because I guess, yeah, when you look at that, let's see, 20 episodes ago, actually 17, technically 17, because I only started on episode 3. So that would put us 4 months. July? Was it July? I guess, yeah. Because it was the beta for Wildlands was when I met Tricky. So, I mean, July was when I finally met up with everybody else. So, that's one of my highlights.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year this year. Then we get April. Holy shit, April.
I know, I was just looking at April, too. The first thing that I see, and it's Persona 5. And yes. It makes me so sad because both you and Kathy have the collector's edition. And Kathy's like, you're not allowed to play my copy of it until I beat it. So either A, I have two choices. Either A, I have to buy my own copy to beat the game. Or B, I have to wait till she's done. Now, being that it's a 100-hour story and you have to be in the mood to play Persona. Persona is not one of those games you just pick up and play. You pick up Persona to like be intrigued because you feel like their lives are in your hands so much that, she doesn't play very often, so.
I'd buy my own copy.
I am going to probably do that at some point. Once I if I ever get to the point where we're not just backed up with all these amazing games.
You're right. Like Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition?
That's that. Did you play that, that game was at all? Joe. That remember that when you remember when that came out? That was Joe. He literally played that, and he's like played it for, I don't know, like something like 10 days, because you know he's got that 50% trophy thing that he always does, and he played it on the hardest difficulty. And I remember being on PlayStation with him when he was so pissed off because he kept on dying on the last level, and I was just laughing away. But yeah.
Oh wow, I actually got that game for free from PAX, and I played a little bit of it. Now what makes this interesting is when you I played this as the man himself. I believe Wolfenstein they put in the game?
No, Koli. Okay, I'm just going to give you a hint, and then you can try to see if you can tell me. You just keep on talking about what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, though, Corey?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I have this thing. Just 1 second. I know who you're talking about. The one, the only, the man that came up with all the good slogans.
Blow it out your ass!
And if you play the game as him, it's hysterical because he's like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, he literally, they recasted his lines. They had the actor come back in and redo his
man,
lines.
Oh, man, have you ever been to, like, even watched, or have you ever watched a YouTube video with the voice actor? And if you guys don't know who we're talking about Duke Nukem. Have you ever seen it?
That's
it. Yeah, have you ever seen it where he...
They all look alike to me.
Where he does he goes and does all the time, and you'll see him at some cons, and he gets the audience to write him letters of what they want him to say, and it's so funny. Like one of the funniest things I've ever heard him say, because he's one of his famous lines, he's got a it's time to kick ass and chew gum, but I'm all out of gum, right? And then someone switched it around and say it's time to chew ass and kick some gum, but I'm all out of ass. Or I'm all out of ass. And he actually like sits and he actually is a good guy about it, where he actually goes and he does the whole voice for like so many things. And yeah, oh, he's a good character. He's a quite a happy character.
Also, Mario Kart 8 came out, another great game.
Deluxe.
Yep. And Stardew Valley.
I want to play Stardew Valley. I'm a huge fan of the old Harvest Moon things. It's just that for me, there's so many things, Cly.
I know.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, that's why we're not doing a game of the year. Now, May comes around, and we have Birthdays the Beginning. Have you played that game?
No.
It's really weird. It's really good.
Sounds like it's really weird.
The only reason why I'd ever think about playing this game is the company that puts it out did a Twitter contest, and I just happened to win.
So, Kalai, on this game, there's no wiki page made for this game, so you could be the creator of the wiki page.
I'd have to play it for more than 10 minutes.
So try to, if you're going to, like, sell me this game, explain to me what makes this game so amazing, or worth 10 minutes of my time.
You are making life. Your job is to scope the world... to create life.
I figured that's probably what it was. I was going to say the reason why you played it was probably because of... Well, I mean, we know why you play Rust. So, I was assuming that maybe that's the reason why you at least play this for 10 minutes. But then it's called Birthdays the Beginning. I was assuming that the... Yeah. It was...
But you supposedly can create dinosaurs. I couldn't get that to that level. Like, I couldn't get the right ingredients... Because you have to start by microorganisms, and then you have to create, like, plants, and then...
So it's like Spore.
Except better.
Okay. Maybe you might have sold me on this game, Clay. I might have to try this out.
It's actually really interesting. I'm like, oh, look, I created a new species. Yay, me.
Yeah, so one game that I noticed, too, and I did play a little bit of this, is Prey.
How is Prey?
I love Prey. Now... If for people that played the old 360 version, this is nothing like it. This is basically BioShock in space. If I was going to explain this in a thing that everyone can understand, now I know there's a lot of hiccups and a lot of people yes, it's not as good as BioShock, but I mean, there's not very many games that are. But I mean, Prey, it just felt it made you feel in an environment that kind of the idea with your sanity, like. I played the extended demo that they had, and it was like 2-3 hours long, and I mean it was quite an experience. I really did enjoy that game. It's one of the games, actually, that I'm looking at when a PlayStation sale goes on or it comes up. I'm definitely going to pick that up for sure. Because that's it's a fun, amazing game. It's the idea that it's not really a survival horror, but it's almost like if you took Dead Space and BioShock and smashed them together. Because
that sounds cool.
Because you're mostly by yourself for most of it, but you don't know really what's going on and you're trying to figure it out. So it's kind of got that BioShock S thing with a little bit by yourself kind of idea. It's really cool. I liked it.
I don't know if there's anything else really that came out that we played.
I mean, not that I played it. I played the first one, which would be Injustice 2.
Well, you know what we should probably take note of? Friday the 13th, Joe is in here. That also came out.
Oh, yeah, he's big into that one.
Yeah.
Oh, so. And another one, since you like to play your computer so much now, Kalai, is Vanquish for the PC. Vanquish is an amazing game.
Is it really?
It is. Huh. It is. It came out originally for the PS3 and the Xbox 360, made by Platinum Games. Quite an amazing game, just...
Now, June happens, and July was a particularly good time for me. I believe it was around June, because we had the summer of Oculus, and I was able to get my VR.
And June for me was... June. I don't think I actually bought anything. I'm pretty sure June was the month I was buying everything games that from like months before. Because actually one of the big games I played this year, which I really enjoyed, and if you haven't picked it up, you need to go pick up this game, is Dying Light. I know it's old, but it's amazing. And the developers keep on... even this year, they're developing more stuff come 2018. Free expansions for people to play the game. Dying Light. Amazing game. That is all.
You know what game came out that I played it on the Vita, but it came out on the PS4 in June? Danganronpa, another episode, Ultra Despair Girls.
Oh, yes.
That game had some great moments for me, and I really enjoyed it because, first of all, if you played any of the Danganronpa series, you have to play this one. Because this one has a lot of explanation after 1 and 2 that makes you go, oh, So the one thing with the Danganronpa series is that a lot of the same things are repeated. And gameplay can become a little bit repetitive with the series, but the storyline is absolutely worth it. I mean, with each one, you get that little bit of just keeps you holding in. So.
Okay, just so the viewers know... I keep on being distracted because Kalai's light keeps on turning off randomly, and then she waves her arms in the air, and it automatically turns back on, and it's quite a weird situation, but... I'm pretty sure you also like Despair Ultra Girls because there's some scenes that possibly happen in the game that might be a little bit more than most gamers would think would be in a visual novel.
Well, not true, because it comes from Japan.
True, I mean, visual novels that are dating sims make sense, but Danganronpa, I guess Japan. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Never mind. So just one more thing I saw in June 2 here that Joe would like us to mention, because he's not here, so we're going to keep on mentioning it, and he better damn well appreciate it. Crash Bandicoot The Insane Trilogy. Now, what an amazing idea. That is one of the coolest remakes I've seen so far, where they've actually taken a game and made it from the ground up and actually made it into a good game. Like, amazing.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I've never played it yet.
Kalai, you you gotta see where the Uncharted guys started. It's their birth... Well, actually, technically, that's not true where their birth...
I've played Uncharted 1.
Yeah, but you need to play not... You need to see where they traveled from. Like, what they did before Uncharted. The idea that they went from Crash Bandicoot to Uncharted. Like, that's a... Actually, technically, it went from Crash Bandicoot to Jack to Uncharted. But still, you can see the movement that they did. And it's really neat that they went from a game that was this kiddie-friendly little Bandicoot game to this hard-ass half-elf looking shooting guy to full-on Nathan Drake taking names and saving damsels in distress and getting beat up all the time.
Now we come into July. July for me was Splatoon 2.
Let's see. July. There's... Okay, so we gotta mention it for Jill. Final Fantasy 12, The Zodiac Age. Joe said it's an underrated Final Fantasy game, and he thinks that it's one of the best Final Fantasies there is. I will argue with Joe on that. But I will not argue the fact that it is not... It's not a bad Final Fantasy game. I will admit that 12 doesn't... It's not as bad as some of the other ones that people don't like. But I just think it wasn't what people wanted at the time.
The other thing that came out, and we absolutely have to mention, even though I don't play it, which I probably should, is Fortnite came out in July.
Oh, the early... Yeah, okay. Yeah. Talk about games that we forget about. Fortnite, obviously the game that I continuously play. Amazing. The Founders Pack came out in July. I think I bought it, like, almost near the end of July. But what a good game. Like, for being a technical free-to-play model, like, this is the big thing that people don't understand. Fortnite, if you play it, the version that we're going to see come out pretty quickly here is going to be full free-to-play. Now, with the release of Battle Royale, I don't know if we actually are going to get the single player to go free-to-play. I don't know. But the rumor was that that would be free-to-play come 2018. What a good game. Like, I just think it's a neat experience that you can play with people. It's not a competitive scene. Like, you're not sitting there going, oh, Kalai. Oh, you're like, oh, I need to destroy these teddy bears or whatever in the level. And Kalai's like, oh, sweet. I also need to destroy teddy bears in this level. And Kalai's like, hey, I found a bear. And I'm like, don't touch that bear. I need that bear. No, Kalai can destroy it, and it counts for both of us. So it's a completely cooperative experience for everyone. And then they also came out this year with the Battle Royale after PUBG. The idea of playing that PvP mode if we wanted to as well. But they keep on innovating. Such a nice cooperative experience that I think works really well competitively. And they always have seasonal events. They had a Christmas... I'm hoping they're going to have a Christmas event. But the looks of it, it might be semi-Christmas event. But they had a sweet Halloween event with Halloween-themed characters and a new map. And I mean, it's really neat that they're putting that much effort into a free-to-play game, technically.
Now we come into August, because I don't think there was anything else on that list. In July.
No, I mean, the one game that came out that I still want to play is Hellblade. I can't... I just so badly want to play that.
Oh, yes, in August. Yeah, me too. Me too.
And then Joe played Sonic Mania. That was Joe's game of August.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't...
Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yeah, I really didn't get a chance to play it.
Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Legacy. Oh, I still want to buy that.
Oh, Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition.
Sure.
I played that. It's actually kind of interesting. It's a very hard role-playing game.
And then Life is Strange, too. The new Life is Strange. But I mean, still, the idea that there's still these great games coming out, when we look at August, and it's like, Everybody's Golf. Everybody's Golf. What another great... Like, it's sad that we look... You know what makes me sad about 2017 a little bit, Clyde, is we're looking through these games, and these are all good games. It's just that because there's so much other stuff out, they kind of got just... Like, we're looking through these lists, we're like, oh, hey, that's a good game. Oh, hey, that's a good game, but it's kind of sad that... Mm-hmm. We may never play it.
Then we come into September. I mean, Monster Hunter Stories. I actually bought that game used. Still haven't played it.
Destiny 2 was a big one for a lot of people. I did not buy it when it first came out because I was burned by Destiny 1, so I waited. Really wanted to play Dishonored. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I still will buy that even with my complaints.
Oh, my game came out. Dagnarompa 3.
Yeah, that you keep on trying to play. One day you'll make it.
I mean, I got through the first, of course, the first trial, and it was very interesting. So,
and
it's a lot of fun.
I want to give a shout out to three games. actually two games and one game. So three games I'm going to give a shout out to: Cuphead, Golf Story, and SteamWorld Dig 2.
Golf Story I played, is a lot of fun. It came out in September?
Yeah, end of the month.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Gundam Versus. Oh my god, what a good game. I wanted to play that so bad. I was so hurt that, like, it blows my mind how competitive that game is when you look at it from the Japanese perspective. But, oh man, what a good game. I'm so glad we finally got a Gundam game to come over here.
Now we come into October. October is a great month for me.
What a great month. Shadow of War, which I still haven't played. Evil Within 2, which I still haven't played. Joe was going to say Gran Turismo Sport. Joe's also going to say WWE 2K18, which he can talk about forever, but we're not going to listen to it because he just keeps on talking about it. South Park. Can't forget that.
Super Mario Odyssey.
Joe wants to mention Fire Emblem Warriors because that's the only reason why he wants to buy a Switch, but he plays it on the 3DS and has put stupid amounts of hours into it. Assassin's Creed Origins, Super Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein 2, Lost Dimensions, PC, good game.
Good to know.
It was on the Vita originally.
What I want to say about October, for me, one of the big moments of October is always Comic-Con. I have the being able to lucky to go every year. I have a group of people because it's
talking
very
about
hard
the,
to get tickets.
No, just to mention for all of our listeners that aren't in New York, Kalai's talking about the New York Comic-Con.
Yes, I'm sorry, the New York Comic-Con. I got to play Monster World Hunter there this year for the first time. So as people are now playing the beta, I've already gotten to play it. I also got to play VR comic books, see comic books in VR. So to see the VR just come out of its shell and to not just look at it in a gaming perspective was very
Wasn't that when you were explaining the mangas to me? Like that?
Yes.
Like that, and see, and I think that's where, like, whenever I keep on trying it, because I know, okay, we're gonna get real here. Joe is an avid hater of VR. Now, me and Kalai is an adopter of VR. I am a person that believes VR is good, but it can be better. But I look at VR from different applications than everybody else.
Well, you got it. When you say that VR could be better, you're absolutely right. Because right now, we are in the
experimental.
Infantile.
Well, like I say, you're an early adopter of VR. You're the one that's adopted to it. For me, I'm waiting till it's that second gen kind of idea till we get like the second gen VR. Like we're getting close to, actually I might be buying, if I can get it, the second PSVR headset that comes out here, I might be buying a second version because I really think it's working better. Like it's actually becoming quite nice. And like I say, whenever I try to explain VR to people and they say I don't see the benefit of playing the games in VR, you're not understanding what VR is. VR is not the idea of just playing video games. It's the idea that you can be put into anything. You can read a book and the book comes alive. You can sit there and watch you can pay for movie theater tickets and never leave your house and watch it like you would watch in a movie theater. You can go to a live orchestra event without ever having to be there and being in the front row with just paying a small amount. If you go through the PlayStation store and you look at what's available through VR, there's not just games, there's experiences. And that's the part that no one gets, is the experiences of where are what going to keep people coming back to VR. When I put my parents into a VR game or into VR, it's not always going to be a game that is going to be like the big thing that I go, hey, this is VR. I'm going to go, hey, mom and dad, when you go to buy your PS5 or your PS4, and what's going to sell them on it? Well, it's a Blu-ray player. It's this. But if you want, wouldn't it be nice to sit there and watch a concert on it? Watch a movie on it? Maybe sit there and look at a beach or look at Mexico, or to the point of where they're
the ocean.
They're talking about now where they're going to be able to design tours, like world tours, where you're able to walk around a real life city and take a look at it like you were there.
Actually, to be honest with you, I forgot to talk about this. The Oculus Rift store just did a huge 15-hour flash sale. I've never seen that before, where they just flashed out a ton of games and experiences. I downloaded the Ocean Experience. I actually sat today and had a blue whale swim next to me. Or I went into the very deep ocean and got to experience life in a bioluminescence environment, which to me is an amazing thing. Some background on me right now, I have a degree in marine biology. I love fish. I love the evolution of fish. So for me to sit down and to experience this is just amazing. Another tip for VR is if you're mad at your husband and you keep him in the same room and you accidentally smack him with your controller, you can say, "I'm sorry, honey, I didn't know you were there."
No.
Because I might have smacked my husband with my controller today.
On purpose.
No, accident. It was accident.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what you're telling people is that you can smack him on purpose and then apologize saying it's VR.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I don't know, Kalai, because this is something I guess we never really dove into much. I know one thing I was really super excited for when they were showing VR originally, and I know I think it was PlayStation VR had showed it a little bit, and I know there's a version of it for the Oculus Rift, is they're designing language programs to be put on VR. Now, have you seen this? Okay.
No, I have not.
So what this is, if I'm correct, now, I think it was a prototype for the VR for PlayStation, but it's the idea that what it does is it pops you into a fake environment. So, like, say, for example, you get popped into, like, a grocery store environment, or, like, you get popped into, I think the one situation is you get popped into going to see a teacher at their house, and they sit you down for coffee and stuff, but they speak Japanese to you, and you speak Japanese back to them, and they actually understand you, and they respond to you based on what you're saying. So it's a whole artificial intelligence thing that with VR, you can look at them and be like, "I want that orange," and they'll pick it up and do whatever for you. And I think that's kind of really cool as well. So,
all right. So now we're getting into November. November, Super Lucky's Tale. Now, that's an interesting one. Have you played that one?
It's only for Xbox, so no.
It's actually not only for Xbox.
Is it not only, or is it PC as well? Is it not, am I thinking the wrong thing? It's not Super Lucky's Tale. Is that not the one that's been done by the creators of Banjo-Kazooie that made another game? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Guacamelee. Or not, it's gonna kill me. You can write into us at GameStuff@ProvenGamer.com to remind me what the hell I'm talking about. I'm trying to remember what the game...
Isn't that the one that was VR?
No. No. That's a different game. Super Lucky Tale. You'll have to remind me what this is, Kalai. It did come only out for Xbox. Maybe I'm thinking of the right thing.
I thought this one was also for VR.
Yeah, but what I mean is, yeah. But what I'm saying is it's a Microsoft exclusive. So that's why I haven't played it. So that's okay.
Now I have to like, check.
It says it's for Windows and Xbox.
That's really weird, because didn't they announce it at the PlayStation event this year that it's coming to PlayStation VR?
I don't think... Are we thinking about the same... I know there's a different game that's not called Super Lucky's Tale that's also VR that looks like an animal basis VR game.
Maybe that's it.
I have no idea.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, please write into the show and tell me I'm wrong.
And Joe's going to talk about .hack GU Last Recoded. I will also talk about .hack GU Recoded. I liked .hack GU. I actually originally stopped people because the first episode and the second episode are very similar in gameplay-wise. You actually literally play the entire game through the first season, and then what they do is they make you play halfway through the second game the exact same way as you did through the first game. And I didn't buy the third game in order to do that. This is a fourth chapter. It's really good. Joe owns it, but has yet to play it. Another good one for you, Kalai, because you are loving your PC. Neo was released in November for the PC.
Oh, yes, you're right. Which I'm thinking about playing Wolfenstein 2 in...
What a good game.
On the PC. By the way, so just to clarify, Lucky's Tale is the 3D version of the game, which is coming to PlayStation VR. Super Lucky's Tale is the non-3D, the non-VR version, I believe.
I'm so confused, but okay.
Super Lucky's Tale has two versions of the game.
Yeah, but it's made by Microsoft. That's what I'm so confused about. Why would they make? Why would Microsoft make a game for the PlayStation VR? Are they getting that desperate they have to make games for PlayStation now? They're just like, oh, we're screwed now. So Super Lucky's Tale is a sequel to Lucky's Tale, which Lucky's Tale is an indie game made by Playful that then Microsoft bought the rights to make Super Lucky. So, once again, Microsoft shoving their big, I'm not going to make the actual developers that made the game make the game. I'm going to buy them and make them make a sequel for me. And then the sequel doesn't do as well because guess what? You don't pay the developers just to make the game. You buy the game from them. Stop it. Microsoft, you want to learn a lesson in 2018? Stop it. EA, you want to learn a lesson in 2018? Learn from Microsoft. You guys both need the same stupid rules. Stop buying companies' game rights and bankrupting companies. Stop it. Both of you.
Now, speaking of EA, I think we need to just touch on this because this is a gaming moment of 2017. When I said moments, I meant good and bad. Battlefront 2.
Yeah, so, and here, I'm going to give a little bit of insider just so people know, just because I can be very biased when it comes to EA. Now, I'm going to put this out there just in case it has any legal ramifications. I'm covering my own butt. My uncle actually worked for EA for a very long time, for 12 and a half years. He was actually working on the Visceral game, possibly. I can't confirm or deny that. When Visceral closed down 2 weeks later, he was laid off from EA. After working there for 12 and a half years. So, in the sense, when it comes into what goes on at EA, I learn what goes on. I know the way they talk and the way they talk about their other developers. I don't agree with it. It's part of the reason why microtransactions happen the way they do is because, in all honesty, EA is there to make money when it comes to microtransactions. They're there to make money when it comes to making games. They will blame it on everybody else. They'll say it's BioWare's issue of why Mass Effect failed. They'll say it's Visceral's issue of why the new Star Wars game failed. In all honesty, it's the idea that when it comes down to a lot of the games that come out from EA, their first concern is money, and that should be the business concern, but at the exact same time, gaming is an art. And I think we need to start looking at it that way because there's companies that are coming out with games nowadays, like Hellblade this year, where it's an amazing game that wasn't built to make money. It was built to make a game about something. And they did really well, and they didn't charge a lot of money for it. It was a short game, and people understand that. And I think people need to learn that. Hashtag save player one.
Yes, save player one. Now we get into December.
We're just gonna... I'm sure there's something else in... Okay, so let's see what... You play Doom on your Switch, don't you, Kalai? No?
No.
Okay, we'll just skip over that. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, Kalai? Yeah? No? No?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, that came out. That did come out in November.
Yeah, it did.
No. Has it really been that long since it came out? No.
Maybe like the end of November.
Man, this 2017, the year that just literally just, you woke up and it was over. Like, you cannot even, I can't even, like, when I think back, we're looking at these lists and I'm like, oh, hey, this game came out this year. It feels like that came out like 2-3 years ago. Like, it's crazy. It's craziness. So December, the month that we're in now, so everybody knows, on recording this episode, it is now December the 9th. So, being that it is December the 9th, we don't know any of the games that have come out since past that point.
I do have a comment, though.
A comment.
Yes.
Is it from your husband?
No, it's about Xenoblades. I'm very excited for Xenoblades.
Ah, yes. Yes.
I want that so bad right now, but it's so close to Christmas, I can't buy games. I have to put them on my list.
Oh, yeah, see, that's the whole thing. That's, I'll explain on how it works, Kalai, just so you know. Kathy's birthday is December the 7th. Then there's Christmas. Our anniversary is on the 27th. And then my birthday is on January the 3rd. So literally there is a point in time, basically all of December and all of end of December, that I'm not allowed to buy anything for myself. It sucks. Especially, like I say, when there's so many, sometimes such good things. Now, this year doesn't look like there's lots of stuff coming out, but I mean, there's still some good games coming. Like, Okami HD, I'm amazed we're still getting. I don't know how, we've released that game so many times, but man, what a game to be released. What a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hello Neighbor, Kalai. I've heard so many good things about the game. You need to play that.
Put it on my backlog.
Yeah, but
games I need to get.
It's PC. On your PC. I'm recommending. And then Gungrave VR. Kalai, you need to buy this game and tell me how it is.
I want to play Fallout 4 in VR, but I'm waiting for it to come to the Rift.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you should, from what I hear from experiences, you need to wait till that game, like, is in good VR, because I heard it's not the greatest.
Or Doom in VR, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Man, and like I say, there's so many games that... And, I mean, the big thing is, too, is I think this year, too, the gaming industry has changed a lot as well. I mean, like you were talking about microtransactions, that was a big thing. Another thing that came up this year, which I'm not going to touch on too much, but the whole harassment thing. That came out through the movie industry and then leaked into the game industry as well. But I mean, it's the idea that I think that the biggest takeaway from 2017 is it's the idea that I think this is the year that we saw people within the companies or people within the communities stand up. And I think that's really neat to see. Like the idea that we're seeing people that we're having people that are coming out of companies and going, look at this is what happened to me. And they know that if they come out, they have support from the community. Same idea when it comes to microtransactions. It's nice to see that, hey, we're at the point now, you do something that we don't like, we can bind together to stop it. And I think it's really neat that 2017 is a year that we can kind of like all join together.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy year, especially for gaming. And now with... One more moment I need to talk about is, of course, meeting everybody on this podcast and, you know, thanking Tricky for teaching me how to edit and to be patient with me and meeting Corey and getting to get to spend more time with Joe. I mean, it just has been an amazing year. And in those moments of 2017, I cannot forget the people that helped us get here. Not only the Proven Gamer Network, but people like Isaac Sago, who, you know, was so kind enough to do our logo and Take Away the Ugly, the band, for giving us rights to their music. I mean, seriously, guys, I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. We truly would not have been here without the support of people like you. And, of course, the last thing we need to thank for the year is our fans. Thank you guys for bearing with us, for bearing with all of our problems and, you know, still coming back to listening to the show, because really there wouldn't be a show without you. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Oh, now. And one more thing. 2017 was extra life for me. It was a big eye-opener for myself and being able to finally give back. And I couldn't have done it without the fans that I built through the podcast, as well as people that... support me in doing what I'm doing. So it was really nice to see that and succeed. And as it is, I'm going to be probably ending this year around $550 for Extra Life. So really proud of that. So
that's amazing. All right. Let's wrap up this ice cream truck on fire.
Which, remember, if you can, look at the Proven Gamer website. Find that ice cream truck on Finder. If you cannot find it, or if you do find it, remember, tell Tricky Mick. Say, Tricky Mick, I found the ice cream truck on fire. Or say, where's that ice cream truck on fire? Because if you click on it, it brings you to a special link. And if you're not finding it, you got to keep on looking. It's somewhere. So, just remember.
And where can they find you, Corey?
They can find me on Twitter at The Grounded Gamer, no E, double D. They can also find me on Twitch under the same thing. They can find me on my PlayStation at Agayu, A-G-U-Y-U. Oh, Kali, I'm so excited. So during the PlayStation Experience conference, it was said that they're by next PSX, we'll be able to change our names.
Wow.
I'm so excited. I know you're not as excited because your name's not shit. So.
They're lying to you.
Yeah. I'm excited though. So.
I'll have to ask my friend about that. You guys can find me on Xbox at Miley21. You can find me on the PlayStation at Miley1978. You can find me on the Twitter at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. And you can find me on Steam at Kalai21. And check out the people that did help us with this podcast. There'll be links in the show notes, so please check them out. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Check you guys later. I gotta be the Joe. Check you later. And stay grounded.